Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed be the name of the Lord, as we welcome you to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my special lady and great teacher of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Thank you again, my love, and may all our listeners be blessed during this rather hectic time of the year. Honey, let's praise the Lord.
Okay, Abba, Father, our El Shaddai, we thank you, praise you, and bless your holy name, for it is in the name above all names, for it is the name above all names. We lift up to you these particular prayer requests recently given to this ministry, some with serious illness, many addictions, and their many loved ones' salvation. We humbly ask that you aggressively pull on their hearts as we truly express our gratitude for the answered prayers and many blessings. We also thank you, O Lord, to speak to the Christians who let the cares and busyness of this life take precedence over their personal time spent with you. As we include in our prayers the finances of this ministry, be with all of us as we study your word, continuing our journey of growing in you. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. And even though Hanukkah has officially ended, let us remain in a spirit of happiness in what God has done for us. No matter what we are going through, never lose sight of that, because what we have in our future outweighs any of our sufferings.
Amen to that. Nicely said and so true. What news do you have today? The Middle East, maybe?
Okay. Well, the Russian military in Syria has transferred from Western Syria at least 8 S-300 air defense missiles, and they transferred them to Eastern Syria. And they were accompanied by Russian operating teams, which is unusual. And a major step for curtailing the United States Air Force once free hand over Eastern Syria. And now we're talking the area near Iraq. So they, along with its allies, that would be us, UK, France, Germany, will henceforth have to take these air defense missiles into consideration before sending any warplane into action.
Yeah, you know, and it's certainly not good for Israel.
Right. These missiles provide a shield for their enemy, the very forces it has sworn to remove from Syria.
In other words, it's just protection for Iran to continue setting up shop.
Right. The Revolutionary Guards and Hezbollah officers, well, they're quickly enlisting and training new local recruits in the southeast of Syria. The S-300s still remaining in western Syria further provide like an umbrella for the large Iranian factories going up in the center and the west for upgrading its surface missiles with precision guidance capabilities, as in GPS.
Damascus is on the west side of Syria, I think, isn't it?
Yes, southwest. As, of course, we all continue to wonder when Isaiah 17 will be fulfilled.
Because that is a huge sign of the tribulation is close.
It does, because the very next verse, in verse 4 of Isaiah 17, begins with the words, "in that day," which I've taught many times is an idiom for the seventh day to begin.
Of course, we will be leaving just before that day starts.
That's what Scripture says, as in Luke 21 and many other places. And, well, we've taught on all that many times. But it's specifically in our archives dated 5/22/18.
Check it out.
Okay. Now, back home, President Trump is facing a lot more domestic turmoil coming in January. Mostly over campaign financing violations that the Dems insist happened and will try to use it to impeach him. It's just so crazy. And by the way, Obama violated the rules too. But the Democratic prosecutors at the time chose to sweep it under the rug. And he was only fined.
You know, that's a true double standard.
for sure, when it is blatantly Hillary who colluded with the Russians, not our president. Who knows? Big trouble is brewing. And so, interestingly enough, for a while, now has been really making nice with the Bushes, because the Bush family, well, it has pretty deep connections.
Well, just how has he been making nice, specifically?
Well, both Judges Gorsuch and Kavanaugh worked in the Bush administration, and so one can certainly deduce were both strong Bush suggestions. And now we see that President Trump just picked Jesuit-trained Georgetown University William Barr as his new attorney general, who just happened to have been Papa Bush's personal lawyer and his attorney general, and who also worked for the CIA in the 70s, as did Papa Bush.
Yes, Papa Bush was.
And I must tell you that William Barr's daughter, who will soon be the new AG, Mary, her name is, works for our Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, who must have, he must have turned over a new leaf, for President Bush respectfully and openly announced and thanked him for attending his Hanukkah service last week.
And he was the guy who was ready to wear a wire to trap President Trump earlier this year.
Yes. And he's friends with Mueller and all his other cohorts. But I want to say something else. Remember, three generations of the Bush family were members of Skull and Bones.
Right, which is a high Luciferian Masonic order, I believe.
It is. And Grandpappy Prescott, it is alleged, stole the skull of Apache Indian Geronimo right out of his grave and was later sued. But the skull has never been returned. Anyhow, one more thing to recall is Justice Roberts, who was picked by GW while president, is the one who broke the tie and approved Obamacare. Remember a couple years ago?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, they quickly took him off to the island of Malta, which is where the Knights of Malta still hold their meetings. They kind of dispersed him away.
And what we have been saying, you know, was confirmed this week.
Oh, big time.
Mm-hmm.
Monday, when Justice Kavanaugh, along with Justice Roberts, turned down to have even a hearing on defunding Planned Parenthood. And that was a Trump campaign promise. So our tax dollars continue to fund abortion. Thank you, Justice Kavanaugh. We Christians have been spoofed again, and I guess we'll just leave it at that. You need to do your own homework, for all this is easily researched. Now we will just watch it all unfold.
Yeah, 2019 looks like a very bumpy road.
Yes, and I pray that one of those bumps is actually a liftoff for his bride.
Amen.
Amen.
You can send your end time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio. Your end of the year love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which will then add you to our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also be a donating partner from our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find all the past radio and teaching newsletters archived for your added learning.
Okay. Well, since the traditional Christmas is this month, I thought we should maybe look at the gifts that the wise men gave Jesus and its significance. Could you read Matthew 2:11?
And when they had come into the house.
Now notice it's a house.
They saw the young child.
Notice it says a young child.
With Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Okay, now, if you remember the story of the wise men, they first went to Herod, who detained them a while, but eventually continued to follow the Eastern Star, who then led them to a house where Joseph, Mary, and Jesus were living, which we now know, of course, is Nazareth. So it had to be a bit later. I was thinking maybe it was at Hanukkah since they gave gifts. Anyway, it doesn't say so, so we're just not sure. Therefore, it was only the shepherds who saw the baby while still in a manger in a sukkah.
And this is important. Babies were already considered a year old when they were born.
I know, because they count the time of inception. I think that really says something, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
So apparently, this is why Herod said, kill all the babies under two.
He wanted to get them all and make sure he got them. And were these wise men astrologers as the secular world wants us to think?
Oh, I think not. remember, to the east of Israel is the land once called Babylon. And still called Babylon, probably. Where there were still many Jews who lived there going as far back as the captivity. And then they stayed on even after Persia took over. Even Peter chapter 5 addresses the saints of Babylon when writing to Jewish believers in his letter. Now, we don't know for sure how many rabbis or sages went along, just that they were very wise, in my mind, Jewish men, who diligently studied the Old Testament and therefore knew all about the star from the east, as it was prophesied in Numbers 24.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, what is the significance of these particular three gifts?
Thank you for asking. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, gold was appropriate for both honoring a king and worshiping God. It has always been symbolic of great wealth and of royalty. The essential symbol identifying a king was an all-golden crown made of all gold on his head. Now, since God is the ultimate sovereign and his son will be the King of Kings, Revelation 17:14, gold is most fittingly appropriate. Now, back in Exodus 25, God told Moses to build a tabernacle in which he could dwell among them as he gave the pattern that they were to follow. Everything was either made of gold or overlaid with gold. The word gold was used well over 100 times as they received and carried out God's instructions. The same was true on even a larger scale in Solomon's temple.
So there was gold everywhere.
Right. Check it out in 1 Kings 6. But as beautiful and meaningful as it all was, were still only types of God's heavenly home, where one day we will see it all.
As well, the heavenly city back on earth.
For sure. And the new Jerusalem, well, that's also going to be made of gold everywhere, so says Revelation 21. So, a gift of gold was not only an appropriate gift, but also a necessity as they worshiped him.
Okay, that makes total sense. So, why the frankincense and myrrh?
Well, both were extremely valued in Israel and other nations as well at that time. And they were used specifically for medicines, incense, and perfumes. I'm interested in the medicine part. I'll check that out. And we read about them for the first time in Exodus 30 and again in chapter 34. So, we see God's instructions for the services of the tabernacle using these spices. Frankincense was the chief ingredient of the incense, which was to be kept burning in the tabernacle all the time, and whose coals came from the brazen altar outside, which is also a picture of Christ's sacrifice for us.
And, you know, also it's in connection with the meal offering.
Yes, symbolizing the acts of the Levitical priesthood, but that is definitely a separate study in itself.
You know, David prayed in Psalms 141, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense."
That's right. While the smoke of the burning offering ascended up from the altar of incense, his people believed their prayers were also ascending up to God along with the incense, and it was to be a sweet savor unto him. The typological meaning of burning incense as prayer rising up to God is seen later in the prophecies of John in Revelation 5, who saw golden vials full of odors, which he said are the prayers of his saints. So, that's our prayers rising up because of Jesus, whose body was prepared with the spices that included frankincense and also myrrh. Today, we pray on the basis of the sin-cleansing sacrifice of the Lamb of God, which supernaturally rise up to the throne of God via the indwelling Spirit of God. Through Jesus, our prayers, they're made effectual.
Anything other than through Christ makes our prayers ineffectual.
Okay, so don't shoot the messenger, because that's real truth being told. In the Old Testament, the high priest would serve as the intermediary, but now Jesus is our high priest. Scripture is emphatic about this. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:15.
So, we are not to pray through anyone else.
Correct. It's likely a sin to do so. Anyhow, now we can see how wonderfully meaningful was the gift of frankincense to the little child, Yeshua. Not only was he destined to be a great king, but also our eternal high priest. The incense is a symbol that he alone conveys our prayers and indeed our very souls to God.
And the third gift was myrrh.
Okay, yes, its first use in the Bible would suggest that its definitive biblical use was in the holy anointing oil spoken of in Exodus 30. The priests, the kings, and their prophets were to be anointed with this divinely designed oil, where the main ingredient was myrrh, and had a very specific, exquisite, strong fragrance. Its gummy-like extract exudes from a tree that grows in the hotter climates of the Middle East. Samuel anointed Saul and later David to be king over Israel. That's 1 Samuel 10 and Psalm 89. And God told Elijah to anoint Elisha to be a prophet who would later succeed him. That's in 1 Kings 19. So myrrh is used in a striking way, again in Psalm 45, which was penned by a son of Korah, which eulogizes the Anointed One as about to leave the palaces of heaven for a mission having a scent of myrrh with grace and righteousness. Now, as we saw a few weeks ago when we were studying the suffering church at Smyrna, remember its name actually means myrrh. And God gave that name because of the many martyrs during that era. After all, it is also used as an embalming spice because of its strong but beautiful scent. Since Jesus had to come first to die, it would be fitting for the wise men who understood the scriptures would give it to him. Everything in God's word has a specific meaning. Now, I want to talk a little bit about that woman. Remember in Matthew 26, the woman in Bethany? Remember she had that alabaster flask, and it contained precious oil, and she was pouring it on Jesus' head? Well, some of the disciples were outraged at the waste of this very expensive oil. But Jesus told them that she did it for his burial. Wow, I can just imagine what they were thinking at that time. Because it was a type of what was coming. his burial. So it had to contain this precious oil essence of myrrh. Now, for a more golden nugget, and this is, and I've talked about this before, but in case you haven't heard it, this is just really a great insight. And it's an insight due to its absence. Now, if that doesn't make sense, hold on. But in Isaiah 60, Isaiah writes about Jesus' return in glory. And he talks about how the people are going to bring him gifts, just like the wise men, and it will contain gold and frankincense. But nowhere in there does it say myrrh. And that's a huge clue, because obviously his death will be behind him, is behind him right now. So that's why myrrh is not mentioned. So check that out. But in conclusion, the wise men who had surely read Moses' promise of the coming prophet, Moses said that in Deuteronomy 18:15, as well as David's promise of the coming priest, and you can read that in Psalm 110, verse 4, and of course Daniel's promise of the coming king in Daniel 9, verses 24 through 27. So naturally, when the wise men saw him, saw this small child, they fell down and worshipped him and presented him with the three most fitting gifts of worship. Oh my, it sounds breathtaking. Anyhow, and unfortunately, Santa has clouded and commercialized the real meaning of giving gifts to one another, which is specifically because Jesus received gifts. So we are memorializing that by giving to others. And now Jesus gives us gifts, in fact, many gifts, through his Holy Spirit. And of course, the best one was Jesus' death for our salvation. You know, if he never gives us anything else, he's already given us too much already in that alone. We have a better life coming. So hold on to that thought. And no matter what you're going through, remember that. So let me ask you, have you accepted his free gift? Are you listening to this program because of divine appointment? If Jesus is not supreme Lord over your life, just repent of your sins and invite him into your heart. Open that door because he's knocking right now. Your time really is running out. Be sure your relationship with Jesus is intimate and not just some head knowledge. And of course, I always say, how can you be sure? Well, the simple word is passion. If Jesus is truly your betrothed one, you will have a desire to know him more, with a passion that will draw you into his word and to be saturated with his presence. Remember, more word, more Jesus. It's that simple. And if you're a Christian and you're not in his word, you better crucify your lazy flesh and just do it. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, well, you're going to prosper in all ways. Psalm 122, verse 6. Remember to keep praying for your president. And should you have any specific questions that you want me to answer, either by calling you or answering your question on air, I can do that. Just send me a note. And also, if you have any other needs, prayer requests, I will pray for you. God bless. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.